This is Akashwani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on Udaan, soaring towards inclusivity in Indian aviation. The participants are Tarun Shukla, aviation expert, and Nishit Kumar, anchor.
In a country where the sky often symbolizes hope and aspiration, the dream of flying has remained an elusive luxury for many. This dream began to take shape with the launch of the regional connectivity scheme, that is Udaan, an acronym for Ude Desh Ka Aam Nagrik, on October 21st, 2016. Spearheaded by the Ministry of Civil Aviation, Udaan aims to enhance regional connectivity from unserved and underserved airports across India. And the figures have been staggering. A total of 86 aerodromes comprising 71 airports, 13 helipads and 2 water aerodromes have been operationalized, facilitating travel of over 1.44 crore passengers across more than 2.8 lakh flights. This is humongous. And also, the first Udaan flight took off on April 27, 2017 from the serene hills of Shimla to the bustling metropolis of Delhi. And to discuss more about the scheme and its journey ahead, we are privileged to have with us today Tarun Shukla, civil aviation expert. Mr. Shukla, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Mr. Shukla, first of all, to begin with, please tell us more about the scheme and how it took shape.
Yes, the Udaan scheme was, as you rightly mentioned, it's exactly 8 years yesterday that the scheme was first launched from, you know, the lawns of Rajiv Gandhi Bhavan. And at that point of time, there was a lot of skepticism in terms of how will this perform and why was this required in the first place. I would just like to take you a little back in terms of the journey of regional connectivity in India. It is not that we never had a regional connectivity scheme ever. A few years back, we had launched something called RDG. The full form of RDG was a route dispersal guidelines. Now, the mandate for RDG was that all the airlines typically would fly profitable routes like Delhi-Bombay, you know, Delhi-Bangalore, so on and so forth. So the ministry had nudged them to fly a certain portion of their monthly flights to smaller towns and cities. For example, the Northeast was lagging in connectivity big time. And similarly, Jammu and Kashmir was lagging in connectivity big time. So around 2 decades back, we had this policy where, you know, the airlines were pushed to do some portion of their flights under so-called regional route dispersal guidelines. This was reformed further. Around 2015, the ministry saw a need that while RDG has served its purpose, there were still several towns and small hamlets which could easily be connected with more flights and which were not getting the kind of attention which they should. For example, why would an airline go to a city like Bareilly? But now we have flights from Bareilly. So what the airlines would do is, if they have a mandate that they have to, out of 100 flights monthly, they have to fly, let's say, 10 flights on smaller routes, they would choose these routes. Like, for example, they would fly to Guwahati, be done with their monthly quota. So to navigate this complex connectivity mix, this policy of Udaan was brought in, and the mandate was to sort of allow many more towns, many more small cities to get connectivity with flights. And that's how the ministry came out with this proposal. And I just also happened to be in Shimla. I had specially gone, you know, to do a story on the first flight, which was inaugurated by Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Mm-hmm. And it was a great sight, because if you see the Shimla airport, it's a really small airport. It's located on the top of a hill. Mm-hmm. And when the flight takes off, it has a very short runway to take off. So it was an amazing sight to see the Prime Minister flag off that flight, which took off in a very sort of almost like a vertical takeoff, in a manner of speaking.
So even as you say all that, of course, the scheme has been a game changer. So how much actually the target have we been able to achieve as perceived originally, and what more needs to be done?
Right. So I think a few weeks back, the aviation, Mr. Naidu, said that he is going to expand the scheme. The mandate of the scheme was that it'll go on from 2016 onwards to around 2026, 27. And he said that he's going to extend that by another 10 years. So some of the objectives of the scheme have been met, but it's not that, you know, the scheme is complete success. Mm-hmm. And it is understandable, because the scheme, for example, like I mentioned, a city like Bareilly, it's now on the connectivity map. Over the next few weeks, you will see Saharanpur, which I don't think it has had flights ever, might get flights very soon. Similarly, there are flights from Hindon Airport, which is like, north of Delhi, and it's a military airfield, and the civilian flights were allowed, and now there are flights from Hindon to even to places like Goa. So a lot of unthinkable has happened in that sense, but to say it is a complete success would be wrong. The flights, for example, the mandate of the scheme is to allow airlines to fly those unserved route, and they get a certain amount of subsidy from the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they are given exclusive rights to fly on that particular route, let's say Delhi-Bareilly, for 3 years.
Okay.
But what happens typically is that after that 3 year period, some of the routes are not able to sustain when that subsidy is taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when the airline is given 2,500, is given a subsidy, is asked to give passengers a seat of rupees 2,500, let's say between Delhi and Bareilly, you will get a lot of passengers. But the moment you take that number to 5,000, a lot of passengers, shy away from booking that ticket of 5,000 because, let's say for a family of four, it's an expensive affair. They go back to train.
So these are some of the challenges. Besides this subsidy part and the money part, of course, as you mentioned, what are the other challenges or bottlenecks, if any, which could be addressed for furthering the objective of the scheme?
Right. So for the next 10 years, as we see this scheme going forward, I think some of the recommendations which people who have flown those routes have suggested is to, for example, extend the period of exclusivity from, let's say, 3 years to 5 years, because some routes may take really long to sort of become self-sustaining, if it were. So then there are other elements, like there are some routes which can only be connected by helicopters or by seaplanes, those differentiated sort of aircraft. So the focus has to shift now to somehow push airlines to become self-sustaining. And a very critical part in this would be for the government to how to ensure that regional airlines also become, there are more and more regional airlines that come into play, and then they become self-sustaining. Mm-hmm. If you notice, in the first wave of Uran scheme, we saw some of these airlines come up, like Turbo Megha and Air Odisha and so on and so forth. And they all stopped operation because once the subsidy was taken off, they sort of went on a ventilator. In the second wave, in the last 2-3 years, we are seeing at least two airlines which are either well-funded. For example, Fly 91 has raised around 200 crore. It's a small airline which has just started operations this year from Goa. And then there is a Star Air, which is funded by a big business group, and it gets about 250 crore over a 3-year period in terms of subsidy from Uran. So these are the two airlines which are backed well by groups with funding. And we need to have many more airlines who can, sustain a small regional operation and feed into mainline carriers. Just to give you one quick data point, in the last three fiscal years, the government has given out around over 3,000 crore in subsidy. And you would guess that a major portion of that would perhaps go to a regional airline, but that is not true. So I think that's the imbalance, if we can call it that, where the government had also hoped that many more regional airlines will come into play over the next few years. But that has not happened. So to that extent, so the government would probably like to push emergence of more regional airlines, which will also, provide more connectivity and the passengers would take to it.
Right. You mentioned about the smaller airports, smaller cities, smaller towns, rather, getting connected with the Udaan scheme. You mentioned about Hindon, Saharanpur, Bareilly. Now, besides these places, what are the other minor regional airports which have been connected with this scheme?
Actually, there are two parts to it. Some of the airports have done very well. Some of the smaller airports, the ones that you mentioned, and some of the other ones, like, for example, Dharamshala, Nashik. There are some of these smaller airports that have done really well. In Bihar, for example, Darbhanga has done exceptionally well in terms of Udaan scheme.
Okay.
But not all the airports end up doing very well. And, there's a term we often sort of talk about. It's called ghost airports.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one part, which is the subsidy part. Then the second part is development of these small airports, World War II airstrips and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The government has already spent about 4,000 crore in developing small airports, small World War airstrips. And I think another challenge to sort of underline is the government will have to see how to ensure that although this money is being spent on those airports, if some of them do not end up getting flights, or the airlines think it's not viable after, a certain period of flying to those routes, then how to sort of monetize those airports, in which a lot of money has been spent. So, for example, some of them can be leased out for maintenance and aircraft repair, which is a term which we call MRO, or, other related aircraft aviation activities, so that, those can be monetized.
Keeping aside the ghost airports, as you mentioned sometime back, mostly if you see this, the scheme has really taken off, and its incremental expansion has generated quite an escalating demand for new aircraft. So how far have we been able to kind of manage it, and how are we going to manage it in future?
It's an interesting question. I mean, we have, seen various mix of planes. Initially, regional flying in India has mostly been done by ATR aircraft, which are the ATR turboprop aircraft, or Q400 aircraft. These are around 70, 80, 90-seater kind of aircraft. In the second wave, what we are now seeing, for example, Flybig, which are like, small 10-seater kind of planes, which are coming in to connect, smaller cities inside Uttar Pradesh, for example. So it is this next wave wherein I think the focus will be of flying planes which are, let's say 20-seater or 30-seater and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And catering to that sort of lean traffic that, sometimes exists, between two city pairs. For example, there would be a lot of traffic between, let's say, Delhi-Lucknow, but there may not be enough traffic on, let's say, from Dehradun to Lucknow or, for example, Saharanpur to Lucknow. But, there's a lot of business interest between, let's say, Saharanpur and Lucknow. So, how do you capture that? You can capture that with a smaller plane, which is like a 20-seater. And then there's a subsidy to back you. And the government has already waived a lot of, SOPs have been given in terms of ATF. The jet fuel taxation has been reduced and so on and so forth. So I think the next wave is perhaps going to see a lot of these smaller planes, seaplanes, helicopters, and all those things, which will get a lot more push in the next 10 years.
Very, very briefly, Tarun, if you could shed some light on the impact of the Udaan scheme on boosting trade and commerce and furthering regional growth.
Yes, I think the minister himself mentioned it in his speech a few weeks back, the aviation minister, Mr. Naidu, where he said somebody reached out to him from a small airport in Rajasthan. And he used to take real long time to come to Delhi. And after the Udaan scheme, which connected one of those small airports to Delhi, the time was really cut short and the business boomed in that city. And similarly, though Delhi-Dharamshala was always connected with one flight, but there have been many more flights. So tourism has picked up big time in some of those cities. Right. And I think we have to realize that when you are getting a subsidy, there is more incentive for an airline to run that route for a longer period of time. And, that itself creates a lot of opportunity.
All right, Tarun. Thanks so very much for having joined us and shed light on this so very, very interesting topic. Thank you so very much, Tarun.
You were listening to a discussion on Udaan, Soaring Towards Inclusivity in Indian Aviation. The participants were Tarun Shukla, aviation expert, and Nishit Kumar, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.